Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here. Since I was here last time, this congregation is bigger. As a conference secretary, I do try to pay attention to the numbers a little bit. I think at the end of the reporting session last year, you had 33 members, and I think you upped that by 12. So I think there's 45 members in this congregation, I think. But anyway, it's nice to be here. The date, July 17, 2016, probably don't mean much to you all, but that was the last time I preached here. Brother Keith took one of my appointments, the last one. There was some conflict, and I don't remember what it was, but Brother Keith took my appointment. But Sally and I do count it a privilege to be back with you here at Strasburg. Several thoughts and situations led to the message that I'm about to share with you. Number one, I thought if I had the opportunity to only preach one sermon, and that was it, what would it be? By the grace of God, it'd be my desire to lift up the Lord Jesus and His Son and the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. Secondly, some time ago, I was reading Brother Simon Schrock's autobiography, Bad Enough and Good Enough to Be a Preacher Someday. How many of you have read that book? A few. Anyway, sometime early in his childhood, he came across a gospel tract about Joseph Stalin. If you remember, Joseph Stalin was a self-appointed premier of the Soviet Union. And he served as dictator between 1929 and 1953. And he was responsible for the death of millions of his own countrymen, those who opposed his communistic rule. He was portrayed as a very wicked, anti-God person. And I quote from his book. In fact, is after I read his book and saw this about Simon in there, I called Simon and I asked him if he'd give me permission to use part of that, and he said I could. And I quote from his book, "From Bible stories and preaching at church, I knew wicked people went to hell when they died. Sometime after Stalin's death, I came across a tract with a picture of him in his coffin. The tract was titled, Stalin Sleeps the Sleep of Death. I remember reading this tract out in the milk house, probably when I should have been tending the milking process. What was striking and somewhat baffling for me was that the tract explained that Stalin wasn't in eternal hell because of the wicked acts of killing all those people. He was there because he did not believe in God and accepted God's gift of salvation and forgiveness through trusting Christ to be his Savior. He did not turn to Christ in confession, seeking forgiveness for his sinfulness." And he goes on to say, "Could it really be possible that such a wicked person could have been forgiven? Was he really sleeping the sleep of death because he didn't place his faith in the Son of God who loved the sinner so much that he died for his sins? The milking chores needed to go on with something serious to think about. Stalin sleeps the sleep of death, not because of his gross sins, but for rejecting God's gift of salvation and forgiveness made possible through trusting Jesus Christ." The title of the message this morning is Choose You This Day. And dear ones, I submit to you that there's no choice in life more important than what will you do with Jesus? Your eternal destiny of either heaven or hell hangs in the balance. To neglect, to resist, or to procrastinate in making a decision is already a decision by default. And I'm happy this morning. Most of you in this congregation have made that decision. I'm glad for that. But however, time moves quickly on. We have children growing up, coming to the age of accountability, And so it's possible this morning that there's someone here who has neglected or resisted the call of God in your life. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Choose you this day. I'd like to consider a little bit God's call to choose in the Old Testament. There's many accounts in the Old Testament of individuals or groups who were called to make a decision for or against God. One of the most prominent or ones that we consider often would be what Joshua said. And Joshua 24, verse 15. And he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day," there's the title, "choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I invite you to 1 Kings chapter 18. Here we have a familiar account. I'd like to read verses 16 to 24. 1 Kings 18, 16 to 24. "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets unto Mount Carmel." And I guess this would be the text verse, verse 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, 'I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it to pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I'll dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God which answereth by fire, let him be God.' And all the people answered and said, 'It is well spoken.'" You know that account. Verse 18, Ahab says that he asked the question in verse 17, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? In essence, Elijah answered and said, "No, Ahab, it's you. You're the ones, and your fathers, that the guilty ones. You're the ones that have rejected God and forsaken his commandments." But verse 21, the Hebrew word for this word, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" The word halt means to hop or to skip over, to hesitate or to leap over. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? It seems like we would say, how long are you going to skirt the issue? Make up your mind. What do you say? But I would like to ask, what is it that led these people into apostasy? What precipitated this slide into apostasy? Where did it begin? And what was God's command to the kings? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verses 16 to 19. The directive to the kings: "But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that they should multiply horses. Forasmuch as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priest and the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and his statutes, and to do them." So this was a directive that the kings were not to multiply these things unto them. They were not supposed to multiply horses, women, or silver and gold. And that is just what happened. So who was it? What king was it that failed to follow this directive? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 11. We find one of them. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Solomon. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go to them, neither shall they come unto you. Why? For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." So Solomon was the one. We could read more about Solomon, but I'd like to consider one of the next kings. I'd like to consider Jeroboam and what he did. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 26 to 30. What did Jeroboam do? 1 Kings chapter 12, 26 to 30. "And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and he made two calves of gold and said to them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and the other in Dan." Sally and I had the privilege of visiting Israel this spring. And about 100 miles north of Israel, I'm sorry, of Jerusalem, is the town of Dan. It's where Dan set up these gods. He set one in Dan and one in Bethel, one in the northern part of Israel and a calf in the southern part of Israel. And he didn't want the people to go to Judah, to the southern part, and follow Rehoboam. So he set these calves up. It just seemed like when men start to veer away from God, God said, don't multiply horses, women, and these things. They'll turn your hearts away. And then once they started to veer, they started to follow the gods of the people around them. And it was a very sad story. And I think I'd just like to call your attention to when man begins to veer away from God, when man begins to veer away from God's commandment, it's hardly any convenient stopping point. And you can see what happened in the Old Testament in these accounts. So God called people, even in the Old Testament, to choose you this day. Make your decision of who you're going to follow. And I'd like to consider now the second point of the message, God's call to choose in the New Testament. And there are many accounts in the New Testament where individuals or groups were called to make a decision for or against Jesus. I'd like to consider one, at least right now, thinking, let's turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 41 to 44. Very familiar account, you know it well. "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Notice verse 44. "The thieves, plural, also, which were crucified with him, cast the same into his teeth." So both of the malefactors, Both of them were casting the same thing, but notice there was a change of heart. Let's look at Luke 23:32-43. Luke 23. We know that both of them were saying the same thing. The mindset of their heart and their life was the same. Luke 23, verses 32 to 43. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood, beholding. And the rulers also, which derided him, saying, He saved others. Himself he cannot save, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Notice that there's been a change of heart. Verse 40, But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Choose you this day, a very short period. There were two men hanging on the cross beside Jesus, one on the left, one on the right. Choose you this day, one man chose to reject, and another man chose in the last hour to receive Jesus as his Savior. Choose you this day. The malefactor, the Greek definition, means depraved, wicked, a wrongdoer, or a criminal. But I love the beautiful change of heart of this man, the one that chose to accept Christ. But here we have a picture of all humanity, past, present, and future. Everyone here this morning will identify with one of the two men on the outside crosses. Either we are dying in sin or we're dying to sin. Which is it? We're either dying in our sins or we're dying to sin. Which is it? Isn't it true that the unrepentant thief, the criminal, he did not go to hell because of robbing others, but he went to hell because he rejected his opportunity for eternal life. He rejected the provision in Jesus Christ. One chose to reject, one chose to accept. He rejected. But you know, the same situation was for Joseph Stalin. The same was for the Apostle Paul. And maybe sometimes you've been on the streets and maybe you've heard somebody say, Well, why would a loving God send somebody to hell? What do you say? Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been on the street somewhere and somebody said, Well, why would a loving God send somebody to hell? What do you say to that? A loving God does not send anyone to hell. A loving God made provision so that we do not have to go to hell. A loving God made provision in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's only by people rejecting the provision that God has prepared is the reason that someone goes to hell. A loving God does not send someone to hell. A loving God made provision so that we don't have to go there. And I say, praise His holy name. You know, as you think about the huge crowd of people that were there during that crucifixion, there was a lot of other people that needed to make a decision. Not only the two malefactors or the two criminals hanging on the crosses, there was many that needed to make a decision. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate, he wanted to wash his hands but washing his hands really didn't relieve him from the guilt. The centurion was there, and he said, truly, this was the Son of God. He needed to make a decision. Joseph of Arimathea, he was part of the Sanhedrin, and he begged for the body of Jesus. There were many people at the crucifixion. They needed to make a choice that day. Choose you this day. And they needed to make a choice. Can it really be possible that But you know, that was, we think about the Old Testament, we think about the New Testament, how people needed to make a decision. For the last point of the message, I'd like for us to consider God's call to choose in 2019. I'm sorry, my throat is giving way, maybe. But what will you do with Jesus in 2019? Have you recognized the scriptures, the truth of the scripture that says in Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The call in each generation is the same. It reminds me of the song, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? I hope it's not the case here, but it could be. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? It's just as important. It's imperative that you make a careful choice to choose you this day. The Bible tells us, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So it's one and the other. Choose you this day. Choose today. About a year and a half ago, I'm assuming it was, Sally and I went in to visit Paul Good at the nursing home VMRC. Thank you. Anyway, he's 98. And now he's 99, he'll be 100 January 20, 2020. Anyway, didn't realize we were going to run into Roland Leanna while we were there. Rollins were visiting their dad. And Roland and I sat down and began to reminisce. Roland used to live in our home for a year or two when he was going to high school. And Roland came from West Virginia, and he was thinking about when he graduated from Pocahontas High School, his best friend, and they called him Hirsch, I think because he liked Hershey candy bars. But anyway, his best friend was dating one of the most popular and beautiful girls in the school. And Roland shared this verse with me, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26. Says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Roland's friend was popular. He had a lot going for him. Roland's friend inherited his dad's gas station and his dad's restaurant. And what was the result of his pursuit? This man lost his business and his mother disinherited him. He drives around a 20-year-old pickup truck, and the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. If I remember right, Roland happened to meet this man's mother, and he asked about his friend. And she said, who are you talking about? And he almost fell over. She basically had, disinherited him and didn't want to even think or know about him. It was horrible that his own mother would even disinherit him. So I share that to share, you know, on the negative side, you know, there's many people that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and suffered much for it. But I'd like to think of another one that I thought of recently. There was a man some years ago that we were relating to, and I'll share his name. Some of you might know him. His name was Ben Rexroad. And he was in a hospital, and he called me up, and he said something like this. I don't remember verbatim. But he said, Jay, he said, if you want to, you come into the hospital to see me. And, you know, that was kind of open-ended, but I thought he really wanted me to come see him. And he said, and in the midst of the conversation, he said, I don't want to burn. This was early in my ministry, and I don't know why we did, but I took Sally and all the children. I think we had four children at the time, and we went to the hospital to see this man. And he said, I've done every sin in the book, and I'm not proud of it, but he wanted to make his peace with God. And I don't want you to think by me telling that story that, you know, that anything good for me to go in to see him. I want you to recognize that there was a man that was faced with a decision to choose you this day. And if I remember right, he told Cheryl, I don't know how old she was, 12, 13. He said, I want to see you in heaven someday. But this man made his peace with God. And I'm saying some choose to reject. Some choose to accept. But it's choose you this day. Like I said, there's two crosses. And we're going to identify with the two men on those two outside crosses. Either we're dying in sin or we're dying to sin. Which is it? The day of opportunity is here. The day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And like I say, I'm happy. You know, I realize as I look out over a congregation, you know, I see the vast majority of you have accepted Jesus as personal Savior, and that warms my heart. But I just like to say there's opportunity. I don't know, there might be somebody here at the age of accountability that need to make their peace with God. And I say, choose you this day. Maybe you're aware of some other situations or people who are living in the bondage of sin, and I would just encourage you to take that person to the Father. Plead for the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart, because there is hope in Jesus. And sometimes there's a mistaken theology. There's a salvation by works. Some people feel like, well, you know, if I do 30 in the next year, if I do 100 good works and I do 85 bad works, I'm good to go. Well, we all know that that's mistaken theology. But there's a lot of people that believe that. There's a lot of people that may embrace tradition and feel like, you know, I have my name on the church roll. Recently, there was a man in our congregation that hadn't been there, and he was attending and showed interest in joining the instruction class. And I asked him, I said, were you a member of a church before? And he said, yes, I was. And I said, did you have a genuine experience with Jesus Christ? And he said, no. There are times that somebody may embrace a tradition or may have their name on a church roll. A church roll, having your name on a church roll will not get you into glory. And just because you're a good person will not get you into glory. Jesus said in John 14, I hope I can quote this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, how? But by me. It's a narrow road. It's in Jesus Christ alone. It's my desire to lift up the Lord Jesus this morning. Choose you this day. I'm assuming that you probably know a lot of people, or those that may be caught in the bondage of sin even yet today. Just pray for that person. or encourage them whatever way you can. There's opportunity. In conclusion, if you're here this morning and God has spoken to you about a certain spiritual need, I would encourage you to recognize the loving call of Jesus. Choose you this day. There could be somebody here this morning that's a Christian, that's a backslider, and you realize that your relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it should be. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And I'd like to close with Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Usually on a Sunday morning, I don't have an invitation or something. But this morning, I'd like to sing one verse of Softly and Tenderly. And I'd like us to just bow our heads and sing prayerfully that one verse of song. If anybody wants to stand or wants to come forward, I'd like to give you that opportunity this morning. And then I'll turn it back to Brother JP or Mark or whoever's going to close. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. In the portals he's watching and waiting, waiting for you and for me. Thank you for your attention. I'm happy that God's door of opportunity is still open for salvation. You may know some people, and I feel like we just had revival meetings recently, and Brother Kirvin Martin was in from Nevada, and he shared one of the last nights, and I shared a good message and shared about a man named Pete that they were working with. And just the love and compassion for this man. I'm not sure how that turned out. It didn't seem like that the man turned to Christ. I'm not sure. But anyway, you could see that Brother Kirvin had a heart for this man, for his soul, tried time and time again. And I'd like to encourage us, if you know somebody, spend some time in prayer for your heart and for his, calling him. The day is still open. To encourage those people to choose you this day. May the Lord bless you.